And for tomorrow's homework on chapter 4, a little piece of paper has disappeared. Can I see the homework sheet, please? So on chapter 4, do 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. After describing sadhana bhakti and defining sadhana bhakti in the last chapter and explaining the two methods of sadhana bhakti, of which the essence of both is to always hear about Krishna, and then after describing some preliminary topics regarding Vaidhi Sadhana, Rupa Goswami is describing the qualifications or the adhikari. Adhikari means eligibility or qualifications that one must possess to take up pure devotional service in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. This is the qualifications to take up pure devotional service in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So, we'll read the first two paragraphs here. We've already heard some of the information in the first paragraph in the last chapter. On account of his association with Mahatmas, or great souls, who are 100% in the devotional service of the Lord, one may attain to a little bit of attraction for Lord Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. In other words, when one is ready to begin the process, this is the qualification. That one has to have this taste, some attraction that's steady. And even if one isn't completely pure and free from all anarthas and material attachments, still one can begin this process. So the two qualifications mentioned here is that he has it's steady attraction, even though there may be some material contamination still there, material attractions. But he is steady in his attraction, and Prabhupada even calls it a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna. That is to differentiate this type of qualification for entering into Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, pure devotional service, with a shakti and ruchi. Ruchi means attraction or taste, and a shakti, attachment. So there has to be some little taste, but it should be steady. And then the fact that one has material attachments is no disqualification for beginning. This attraction for Krishna consciousness in association with pure devotees is the sign of great fortune. It is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya that only the fortunate persons, by the mercy of both a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, will get the seed of devotional service. There's the famous verse, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. That one gets the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed, the bija, or seed of bhakti, by his good fortune. Brahmanda Brahmate means that the soul is wandering throughout the universe, birth after birth, seeking pleasure, getting a concept in his mind as to what he thinks will please him, make him happy, and then taking his next birth and to try to satisfy that, basically. And then on and on, birth after birth, cycling through all the 8,400,000 different species of life. And then this cycle is endless. So therefore there is no freedom from it. Just one goes on eternally, practically. Just trying to become happy, satisfying material desires. Now a big king, next life a bird, next life a fish, next life a dog, next life a hunter, the next life a woman, next life a bug, the next life a this, on and on, eternally, eternally, cycling, 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 cycling. So when one is fortunate, the only good fortune in the material world is when one comes in contact with a pure devotee and he receives by the mercy of the devotee Bhakti Lata Beach. What is this Bhakti Lata Beach? This is described clearly. Exactly what it is that the devotee is receiving is described clearly by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs from Sri Rupanuga Bhajana Darpan in Gita Mala, one of Bhaktivinoda's songbooks. This is the third verse. Now I will read it in Bengali and you will translate it. It's very short. Seto bishwas bhai. You can understand my Bengali?
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean?
That it is faith. My faith.
Faith. This is faith, oh brother. Shraddha boli sada gai. Shraddha boli sada gai.
It is called as Shraddha.
Vishwas. This Vishwas. It is Vishvas that is called Shraddha. It is Sada. What is the Sada?
Always.
It is always Shraddha. It is always called Shraddha. Bhakti Lata Bija Boli Tare.
This is called Bhakti Lata Bija.
This is called the Bhakti Lata Bija. Kami Jnana Jnani Jane Jare.
What Karmis and Jnanis know as
Shraddha Boli Bare Bare.
It is called as Shraddha.
What the karmis and jnanis that they call Shraddha, yes? Say Britti Shraddha Hoite Nare.
This is different. This is
different from what I am talking about. So here's the translation here. Very good. My friends, this type of faithful conviction, and what is that? The faith is that whoever has such faith in their hearts tastes one drop of transcendental nectar. Any type of yoga exercise or external religious ritual is completely useless and no help at all. Genuine faith, Shraddha, is the only real substance. Whoever has such faith in their heart tastes one drop of transcendental nectar, and then one gradually gains the right of admission into the entire ocean of ecstatic devotional mellow, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. My friends, this type of faithful conviction is called Shraddha, which I continuously sing about and glorify in various ways. This Shraddha is actually the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of the creeper of devotion. All the fruit of workers, karmis, and mental speculators, jnanis, have their own idea about what devotional faith is, which they proclaim again and again. But their definition is a gross misconception. Their activities are not based on true, truly transcendental Shraddha. So when one comes in contact with a pure devotee, he gets the faith and realization that there is nothing valuable in this world other than to perform pure devotional service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and to attain their lotus feet, the service of their lotus feet and the service of their servants in Goloka Vrindavan. That deep conviction that conviction, the seed of that conviction, is the Bhakti Lata Beej, and it is not material. Without that, one cannot proceed. And if one doesn't have that, he will get Karma Beej, Jnana Beej, Yoga Beej, he will get the seed of something else. He will try to get some material benefit, or try to become one with the Lord, or some Siddhi benefit, but he will not understand deeply, he will not have the seed of this desire planted in his heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly and definitively describes what exactly the Bhakti Lata Beej here is in a song. Now, so it is by the greatest of fortune. We don't understand so clearly how great this fortune is. But we should understand it clearly. That it is very, very, very rare that someone actually has the faith and the desire to serve the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And he doesn't want anything else. So if one has that, he will get by the if he's very fortunate, he will get the seed of devotional service by the mercy of both the bona fide spiritual master and Krishna. When the devotee is ready, Krishna sends a bona fide spiritual master. Then the remainder of this. In this connection, Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 8, "My dear Uddhava, only by exceptional fortune does someone become attracted to me. And even if one is not completely detached from fruitive activities or is not completely attached to devotional service, such service is quickly effective." So this is the eligibility again to take up pure devotional service. Now, next, Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion describes the three different types of people, or three different types of categories of devotees who take up devotional service, pure devotional service. So we're going to read this. This will go from the middle of page 29 to the middle of page 30, almost. So you can follow along as I read. Devotees may be divided into three classes. Now this means the devotees who will enter into devotional service according to their three different eligibilities. And this again refers to the eligibility to take up Vaidhi Sadhana, Shuddha Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Shuddha means pure. The devotees in the first or uppermost class is described as follows. This is called Uttama Bhagavat. Sometimes we call it Uttama Adhikari. Adhikari. Adhikari means again, this is Uttama Adhikari, not Uttama Bhagavat. This doesn't have anything to do with the first class devotee, the perfected devotee. This has to do with the Uttama Adhikari, the one who is eligible to take up. This is the qualification and characteristics of someone eligible to take up pure devotional service. He's very expert in the study of relevant scriptures, and he is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. He can very nicely present conclusions with perfect discretion, and he can consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. He understands perfectly that the ultimate goal of life is to attain to the transcendental loving service of Krishna, and he knows that Krishna is the only object of worship and love. The first class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master and has sincerely obeyed him in accordance with revealed scriptures. Thus, being fully trained to preach and become a spiritual master himself, he is considered first class. The first class devotee never deviates from the principles of higher authority, and he attains firm faith in the scriptures of understanding with all reason and arguments, by understanding with all reason and argument. When we speak of arguments and reason, it means arguments and reason on the basis of revealed scripture. The first class devotee is not interested in dry, speculative methods meant for wasting time. In other words, one who has attained a mature determination in the matter of devotional service can be accepted as a first class devotee or eligible candidate to go on. The second class devotee has been defined by the following symptoms. He is not very expert in arguing on the strength of revealed scriptures, but he has firm faith in the objective. The purport of this description is that the second class devotee has firm faith in the procedures of devotional service unto Krishna, but he may sometimes fail to offer arguments and decisions on the strength of revealed scripture to an opposing party. But at the same time, he is still undaunted within himself as to his decision that Krishna is the supreme object of worship. The neophyte or third class devotee is one whose faith is not strong and who at the same time does not recognize the decision of the revealed scripture. The neophyte's faith can be changed by someone else with strong argument or by an opposite decision. Unlike the second class devotee, who also cannot put forward arguments and evidences from the scriptures, but who still has all faith in the objective, the neophyte has no firm faith in the objective, thus he is called the neophyte devotee. But even this neophyte, Adhikari, he is not won over completely. When it says that he is won over by opposing arguments, not completely, but he is temporarily swerved from his conviction. But due to some faith in the spiritual master and Shastra, he falls back on those teachings. He has some faith, but his faith is pliable. The second class devotee's faith is strong, but he doesn't know Shastra. And the first class devotee knows Shastra, and his faith is very strong due to his mature conviction. He's thought everything through, he's been through everything, and he's convinced. So these three adhikaris to take up pure devotional service are classified basically according to their faith, to the strength of their faith, mature, strong, and pliable. Their faith is divided into four different categories. There are four different categories within which their faith is analyzed and thus they are placed. The first one is called tattva vichar, and that means their faith in what is the ultimate truth. So the first class devotee is fixed by his shastra, by his own reasons, etc. The middle class devotee is also fixed, and the third class is not. Other is sadhana vichar, the practices that lead to bhava bhakti, to uttama bhakti. Fixed in that, they know exactly what should be done and what should not be done. And this is one of the anartas, riddhaya dhulabham, weaknesses of heart, if one does not understand the proper practices of sadhana, rather not riddhaya dhulabham, but tattva vibhrama. Means not understanding the properly the practices of sadhana. The third element of the faith is called purushartha vichar, faith in the shastric teachings about the value of life. And the fourth is upasya vichar, again the proper object of worship. Who should be worshipped? So these are the elements of faith.
And then you think, no, I won't do that. That tendency is there, is kuta. Then after kuta is bija, which means there's a Sanskrit term for it, vashana, means personality, or psychological, an actual tendency, psychological disposition to do something. Someone has a tendency to steal. Someone has a tendency to lie. Someone has a tendency to cheat. Someone has a tendency to break one or more of the four regulative principles, to drink. People have these tendencies. Psychological dispositions. Way after kuta, this is called bija. And when you have a strong psychological tendency to something, and this comes along with your karma, your birth. In some places, just by your birth, you begin stealing and taking drugs at a young age. Or this is what happens, or engaging in all kinds of illicit activities at a young age. In another birth, that is not at all present. And the fourth parabdha is when you actually do something. It's manifest. You actually commit a sinful activity. And the reactions for that activity, when they come to you, they are also parabdha. And also, the sinful desires, that is also reactions. Sex desire itself is a sinful reaction. All the vashanas, these bijas, they're all sinful reactions. But different stages, from immature or unmanifest to a little bit maturing, then almost mature, and then parabdha, mature. Now, Padma Purana describes, as Prabhupada says here, that devotional service is so powerful that it removes all the stages, one by one, starting with parabdha. It removes all the stages of sinful reactions, one by one, starting with aparabdha, unmanifest. So that is the example that we give. We wonder, you know, I've taken initiation, I'm a devotee, and still I'm getting some reactions, you know, certain things are happening to me. I still have a body, so therefore I have some reactions left. I still speak with a New York accent. I have some reactions left, because these are removed one by one. And Krishna allows the parabdha karma to exist, because without parabdha karma, what would happen? We would die instantaneously. So for the preaching of the devotee, he allows it, but he minimizes it, one's parabdha karma. Tate nu kampam su samikshamano bunjaneva makripavapakam. So we should see anything that happens to us as minimized sinful reaction that comes to us. In addition, the example that we often give
are classified further according to the Bhagavad Gita verse Chatur Vidha Bhajante Imam Jana Sukritino Arjana Arta Gyas Arta Ti Jani Cha Bharatasava. These are all categories of neophyte devotees. And we've already spoken about them. Their examples are Dhruva Maharaj, who desired artarto, wealth. Gajendra Arta, he wanted freedom from distress. The sages of Namasharanya, Gigyas, they were curious, and they asked so many questions to Suta Goswami, and they gradually were purified by the questioning and answering. And then finally, the Jnani, which is the four Kumaras, is the typical example of this. They want knowledge. Now this, when in the Bhagavad Gita this is described, in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it also says that the Jnani is best, and Prabhupada describes this here. Now why is the Jnani best? That is described. It's because he's not interested in anything gross. His coming to Krishna with his desire for knowledge, to know Krishna, his desire is very subtle. So it is not quite pure, but it is subtle. He only wants some knowledge. So he is considered the best. It is almost on the platform of coming for love, because his desire isn't gross. I'm coming to you to get free from my distress, or to get knowledge, or to satisfy my curiosity. That is considered more gross. And the Jnani's concept of what he wants in exchange for his devotional service is more subtle and practically doesn't exist. So very quickly, the Jnani who comes to Krishna, he will become very exalted. And therefore Krishna says, the Jnani is most dear to me. But this is talking about, when Krishna says this in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about in the immature stage. Once they come to Krishna and give up their desires, they're all equal. And this distinction ceases to be made. So the Jnani is considered most rare of these four. Because it's very rare that people come to God with no, practically no motives. But the pure devotee is considered even more rare. So Prabhupada describes this one by one over here. So when these four give up their desires and they submit to the Lord in full faith, just wanting to serve Him and to be satisfied with nothing but His pleasure, then they are all glorious, more glorious. They are all already Mahatmas. They are Sukritis and Mahatmas already, but they become more glorious. The conclusion of this section is right in the middle of page 32. It can be concluded that a person who is freed from the bodily concept of life is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that after Brahman realization, when one is freed from material anxieties and can see every living entity on an equal level, he is eligible to enter into devotional service. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samasaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. So this shows that actually this level of pure devotional service is not on the material platform at all. It is actually on the Brahman platform, having nothing to do with the modes of material nature. One is serving Krishna free from all desires and just satisfied by Krishna's pleasure. So it is so glorious, pure devotional service. It is so glorious and very rare. Now, on page 32-33, there is some, the final points are going to be made by Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada about those things that stand in the way of our becoming eligible on this high level for pure devotional service. And we should know that we are meant to come to this level. But it doesn't mean that if we're not quite on this level, if we have material attachments, we cannot begin. That point was made right in the beginning. We should begin at every point. Akama savakama va moksha kama udaraji tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapara. For the one is akama, without any desires, akama savakama va, or has all material desires, or moksha kama, or desires liberation, udaradi. Still, regardless of one's position, one should simply tivrena bhakti yogena, with great strength, worship purushapara, yajeta purushapara. We should worship Krishna only. We should not be deviated to satisfy our desires for moksha, liberation, or to satisfy our desire to get material things, or to satisfy our desire for anything. We should only worship Krishna. We should go straight on that path. But we should understand that that standard is not the highest standard. But yet, in all humility, we should worship in this way. Yajeta purusha para. We should worship Krishna and no one else. So now, Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada are going to discuss the obstacles that we may have after we are rendering service. Even though we should render service anyway, we should understand something about these obstacles. As stated before, there are three kinds of happiness: material, spiritual, and devotional. This is towards the last third of page 32. Devotional service and then a happiness due to its execution are not possible as long as one is materially affected. We cannot actually come to this highest transcendental platform of devotional service, whereas we really make, then we are actually devotees. When one is rendering transcendental service, mam chayo vibhacharena bhakti yogena sevate saganan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpati. When one is unflinchingly, continuously doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then one is situated on this transcendental platform, and then one is actually a devotee. So up to that point, we should not say we are devotees. We should say we are aspiring to be devotees. Or by the mercy of our spiritual master, he is accepting our impure devotional service. We need that. Before one can approach Krishna directly, one has to be purely spiritual with no material contaminations. Just like before one can get close to fire, one's body has to be fire. If now we have this body composed of earth, and we cannot get very close to a hot fire because the elements conflict. So similarly, we cannot get very close to Krishna. So this is our position, that we cannot approach Krishna directly. We are not pure enough. So how do you begin? How do you render devotional service, which is the thing that purifies you? Understand the contradiction? That we cannot approach Krishna directly because we are not pure. But bhakti yoga, or approaching Krishna and service to Krishna, is the means to get pure. So if we're not pure enough to adopt the means, how can we become Krishna conscious? So therefore, Rupa Goswami, quoting that 11th canto verse right in the beginning, says that you can begin. But we should understand that it is by the mercy of Krishna, Krishna's representative. It's the mercy of Krishna who sends us his representative, who takes our impure devotional service, motivated, and offers it for us. And Krishna accepts it because he is offering it. He accepts it. Otherwise, we have no access. So therefore, we are aspiring to become devotees. One time, His Holiness Vrindavananda Maharaj, many, many, many years ago, wrote a poem about Krishna, or maybe it was a Vyasa Puja offering. And he said, the last line of every stanza was, "And I am your devotee." And Prabhupada wrote him back and said, "You should not write, 'I am your devotee,' you should write, 'I am your servant.'" We should not think that we are devotees, even though commonly we say that. But inside we should know that we are devotees of our material desires. Maybe not you, but at least speaking for myself, I'm devotee of my material desires only. So in that sense, I'm a devotee. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, he's taking my impure service, and this is my hope. This is my hope, that he is taking this and offering it to Krishna, and thereby Krishna's mercy, by his mercy, will come to me. So there are three kinds of happiness. If someone has desire, so devotional service and the happiness due to its execution are not possible as long as one is materially affected. If someone has desire for material enjoyment or for becoming one with the Supreme, these are both considered material concepts. Because the impersonalist cannot appreciate the spiritual happiness of association and exchange of loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their ultimate goal is to become one with the Lord. This concept is simply an extension of the material idea. In the material world, everyone is trying to be the topmost head man amongst all his fellow men or neighbors, either communally, socially, or nationally. Everyone is competing to be greater than all others in the material concept of life. This greatness can be extended to the unlimited, so that one actually wants to become one with the greatest of all, the Supreme Lord. This is also a material concept, although maybe a little more advanced. So as long as one has these material desires, one cannot actually take part purely in devotional service. However, the perfect spiritual concept of life is complete knowledge of one's constitutional position, in which one knows enough to dovetail himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. One must know that he is finite and that the Lord is infinite. But it is not possible to actually become one with the Lord, even if one aspires for this. It is simply not possible. Therefore, anyone who has any desire or aspiration for satisfying his senses or by becoming more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, cannot actually relish real sweet taste of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore compared possessing these these bhukti and mukti desires with being influenced by the black art of a witch, in both cases, one is in trouble. If one is under the control of some tantric, some witch or something has cast a spell on him, then one is in trouble. He cannot act properly. So similarly, if one is possessed of these desires for bhukti or mukti, material sense enjoyment, or to become one with the Lord, his position is difficult. It is like compared to being possessed by a witch, under the spell of a witch. These desires are compared to being haunted by ghosts and witches. Because while these aspirations for material enjoyment or spiritual oneness with the Supreme remain, no one can relish the actual transcendental taste for devotional service. So this is heavy. But yet, remember, keep in mind that Rupa Goswami has quoted right in the beginning that one may remain, if one has a little of taste and attachment, even if one has some attachment to material fruit of activities and material sense enjoyment, he still can become eligible to discharge devotional service. So one should begin. One can begin and one should begin. But one shouldn't think that, oh, I am so wonderful, I am an exalted. I heard Prabhupada say at one initiation ceremony, initiation means to begin. When you initiate some action, it means to begin the action. It doesn't mean that my business is finished at initiation. It's to the beginning. So one has to work hard and pray for Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the Vaishnavas to remove these things from the heart. And the process itself will remove them. See how this book is so important, because the whole science of devotional service is taught here. Otherwise we become fooled. Now, out of the two, the one who wants bhukti and the one who wants mukti, the one who wants mukti is considered in a worse position. It is much more difficult. It is a greater obstacle against bhakti than the desire for bhukti, material sense enjoyment. It is actually very, very difficult. You know, we render devotional service, we do something nice, and people praise us. You know, we say, oh, he's a good devotee, or this, or he gives a good class. And our false ego becomes gratified like that. But we actually have to lose this attachment for these kind of things and be ready to be an insignificant servant of Krishna. Now, one day, maybe it has already hit you, but one day it hits, what does it mean to become an insignificant servant of Krishna? That means like billions and billions and billions of servants. And you are just one of them. And all the top positions are already filled. And you can't like climb up and by your good work, you know, get to become one of the intimate associates of Krishna. No, not like that at all. All the top positions, Lalita, Vishaka, all the Manjaris, all the gopis, all the cowherd boys, all the mothers and the fathers, all the positions are filled. And you can become one of billion, one in a zillion, quadrillion, billion insignificant servant. It's hard to handle because we don't like that concept. Well, if I'm going to be a servant, at least let me be the best servant. No. Insignificant, being satisfied, just serving, doing some service and seeing Krishna's pleasure. It's heavy. At least, this is how it hits me. It is very heavy. But that is not the eligibility to begin devotional service, to that realization. Even though we desire to be big, etc., or whatever, we should begin. But gradually we understand what is a weed, and that the weeds must be pulled out, otherwise they will choke our creeper. But this desire for mukti especially is the greatest. And if one is the greatest obstacle, and if one removes this desire from his heart, then just by hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, everything else will go gradually. Because Krishna is so attractive, he will attract our hearts to him. This is Krishna consciousness. We have no ability to come close by our own. After, in the second sloka of Shikastak, the second sloka is, how does it begin? Nam nam makari bahud anila sarvashak. That your names are full of all power, all shakti. Tatrapita niyamita smaranena kala. And there is no rules and regulations for chanting these holy names. You're so kind that you put yourself in your name, and there are no restrictions. We can take Krishna's name at every time, every place. Itadrasi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi. And you so kindly have done this. But unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for that. So Krishna is so easily approachable by his holy name, but we can't do it. We have no attraction. Why? Why? Who knows why? Raise your hand if you know why. Okay. Why? Start over here. Yeah.
Greed, offenses.
Yes.
Anarchy.
Yes.
Individual possible.
Yes. All these reasons are right. Basically, summed up, it is due to anarthas. And there are four different types of anarthas which cloud our attraction to Krishna's name. One is asatrishna, the thirst for material, for matter. Another is weakness of heart, riddhaya dolavam. The third is tattva-vibhrama, lack of understanding. And the fourth is aparad. So each of these have their own subdivisions. They are explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Shikastak and in his, especially in his commentary called Bhajan Rahasya, which is basically a commentary on it. These are explained in detail. So because of that, we don't have the taste, because of all the anarthas in our heart. And then what is the next? So you try to remove the anarthas within your heart. And before you try to remove them, you have to become aware of them. And what happens when you become aware of all the wretchedness and contamination in your heart?
You want to escape your
again. No, we don't want that. Anyway, we can want that, but that's not the answer that I was looking for.
Actually, the person don't want to believe he has
anarthas. Right, but what happens when you come, when Krishna so mercifully shows you all the anarthas you have in your heart, and you realize it, you see it, because that's what we really want, then what should we become? Humble. So therefore, the next verse, after the second verse of Shikastak, is Trinadapi Sunitena, and then when we become humble, then we can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So this, and then we can hear properly. And then, when we hear properly, if we don't have this desire for mukti, to become one with Krishna, then we will make very rapid advancement. If we become humble.
So maybe one more point or so. So just see, next starting in the at the bottom of lower half of 33, it describes the incredible purity of devotional service and what the pure devotee is thinking, what he's like. And these are the quotes by Rupa Goswami. And this is why devotees don't aspire for mukti. And the entire next chapter is full of quotes to convince us, because mukti, the desire to become one with Krishna, become liberated, is such a weed. Rupa Goswami has put in so many quotes, which is basically the next chapter, to convince us that if we have a tendency in this direction, to remove it. But this is to give us a little hint how we should remove this. Bilamangla Thakur says, if I'm engaged in devotional service to you, my dear Lord, I can... The Mukti lady is standing there with folded arms saying, what can I do for you? And I don't care. Anyway, I'm not going to read these quotes, but this is the purpose. To show that we should not, if we have this desire for Mukti, we should pull it from our heart. And then finally, there are some quotes at the end of this chapter here. Starting a similar passage is there in the fourth canto. Again, that one explains about how devotees don't want liberation. Here's another quote from third canto of Bhagavatam, 25th chapter, verse 34. Piladev says, my dear mother, devotees whose hearts are always filled in the service of my lotus feet and who are prepared to do anything for my satisfaction. Oh, what a, just that, such a sweet, this is what bhakti is. Especially those fortunate devotees who assembled together to understand my qualities, pastimes, and form, and thus glorify me congregationally and derive transcendental pleasure therefrom. They never desire to become one with me. So what is it that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained, that this is what makes Brahmananda seem pale and rejected? There is so much bliss available to the devotees by discussing Krishna Katha. And they don't want to become one with me. And not only that, even if they offered a post of mine in my abode, or opulences like mine, or even personal association with me with similar bodily features, they refuse to accept it. Just imagine what these devotees are experiencing. If someone said to you, you can go to Vaikuntha and attain a form just like Krishna's, with forearms and all opulences, and live eternally there. Is attractive. No more birth, no more distress, no more anxiety, no more tests. But devotees of Krishna, they won't take that, except if it is to give Krishna service. They won't take anything for themselves. This is pure devotion. And this is what it means to be a disciple. Very heavy, actually. Very heavy. Even initiation means to begin. So you can't begin at the conclusion. Or we don't generally begin at the conclusion. But still, this is what it means. And the last quote, my dear Lord, the transcendental pleasure derived by meditation upon your lotus feet, which is enjoyed by the pure devotees, cannot be approached by the transcendental pleasure derived by the impersonalists through self-realization. So how can the fruit of workers, who at most can aspire for promotion to the heavenly planets, understand you? And how can they be described as enjoying his happiness similar to the devotee's happiness? So hearing about the Lord and meditating upon his lotus feet, this gives the devotee so much pleasure that it derides liberation. Okay, so many questions, but unfortunately, I have to go.
had an appointment a little early today. 3 minutes worth of questions. Okay, we can take, I'll answer everyone's questions quickly. We'll get it all done in 3 minutes.
You mentioned this three category of sight. What is the difference between this sadhana vichari,
partial vichari? I can't answer that. Next.
Well, you said that bhakti is set here.
I'll check.
Bhakti vata bridge is the faith. That
yes, that's what bhakti vata says.
And there is this degradation, like when a person on faith, trada, sadhu, sangha. So we receive this faith like
by association, firmed up at initiation, officialized at initiation. And then?
And now we come to sadhusanga.
Continue. Because you follow the instructions. No, the faith attracts you. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not understanding your question.
How we come to sadhusanga?
You have to have some faith. And that brings you to Shraddha. To sarasanga. You have to have some initial attraction. Carried from previous lives. This is actually described in more detail in other places, and I don't have it by memory, unfortunately. There are steps, more steps. But we have faith in something in Krishna, but actually the faith and desire in the heart, I want to be a pure devotee, comes by bhajana kriya. In the beginning we have some attraction and some faith, but we don't know quite what it is, maybe. Like that. Next question.
How to say the seed of devotional service given by Guru and Krishna, but what it means the love of God is already dominant in the heart.
This is the faith, it's there, and without the faith it cannot blossom.
So the seed means the faith.
Yeah, the seed means that is what's given by the spiritual master initiation. And you have faith in him. That's why if you don't have faith in the spiritual master, there's a problem. So therefore the essence of the relationship is faith. But then, based on that, the actual Krishna consciousness that's in the heart will expand. Huh? I also have to. Yeah, last question.
You explained how is the eligibility and the qualification of the body. So it's possible to have a Nyapai or a Manya Malikari trait, and you have all Manya Bhakta who is a Uttama Adhikari. Is eligible?
Yes. Yes. Maybe because when we talk, he has to be pure. Someone has to be pure, and then when he's pure, he can advance.
Is it possible to have an Uttama Adhikari, an
Uttama
Bhakta? But at this stage, lower than Adhikari?
No. Not all. I never thought of this question from that side. The way I usually think of it is it's possible for someone to be an Uttama Bhakta, but not yet an Uttama. He can be practicing Uttama Bhakti, but not yet be on the Uttama Bhagavat platform. In other words, you may not be on the Prema Bhakti level, but you may be practicing pure devotional service. That's already been explained. So your question is it possible for someone
to be a first class devotee but not eligible to make as rapid advancement as someone
who I can't understand how
yeah, obviously it doesn't seem to work. If someone is Mutmari,
if someone has a great qualification, this means your real qualification. Because, see, why is he, the Uttama Adhikari, more qualified, more in a better position than the Madhyam? It's not because of his faith, but it's because his Shastric knowledge is greater. And he more deeply understands it, so therefore he can advance better. So the Madhyam Adhikari should come up to Uttama.
Yeah.
By learning the Shastra. So your question maybe could be, can a Madhyam Adhikari make great advancement? And the answer is, without coming to the Uta, without knowing Shastra. And that could be your question. Is that your question? Okay, then I won't bother with that. Well, yeah. Not your question. The answer is that we should know Shastra. But it's got to be, if it's a similar question, then you can have my answer. Same answer. But I have to go right now. Maharaj is waiting.
What are the four anarthas you mentioned? Did that?
I'll look it up. You can get that at another time. I'll tell you at another time. And I'll tell you the breakup for each one.
It's possible to get the quotes from Sisi, the corresponding verses. I know you read more.
Yeah, I have that. I have a book with that in it. I can try to print it up. Yeah. But it doesn't have the... It just has the numbers.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I think about...